International.
The Geneva Conventions at 75. No more the laws of war. Already under strain, a great power conflict could push them to breaking point.
Gloom will accompany the 75th anniversary of the Geneva Conventions next month. Debates rage as to whether this batch of treaties, which govern how wars may be fought, and later protocols, which ban genocide, torture and more, remain fit for purpose. The head of the International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, has warned of increasing elasticity in how countries apply the laws of war, which the conventions underpin. Take Russia. In Ukraine and Syria, the country has disdained the laws of war and frequently hit civilian targets without compunction. On July 8th, a children's hospital in Ukraine's capital was bombed. Israel is also criticized for its conduct in Gaza as it fights Hamas. Some 38,000 Palestinians have been killed. Yet Israel insists on the legality of its strikes on schools, hospitals, and refugee camps. Meanwhile, in Sudan, conflict between the Sudanese Armed Forces, or SAF, and the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, a paramilitary group, has flattened swathes of the country. More than 750,000 people are at risk of famine. Courts are scrambling to keep up. The International Criminal Court, or ICC's prosecutor, has requested arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant, Israel's Prime Minister and Defense Minister, as well as the leaders of Hamas, on charges of war crimes. It has also issued an arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin, Russia's president. In Sudan's Darfur region, ICC prosecutors are collecting evidence of atrocities committed by both the SAF and RSF. And in May, the International Court of Justice, which tackles governments rather than individuals, ordered Israel to restrain its Rafah offensive. The erosion of respect for the laws of war looks likely to continue as the world enters a new era of great power rivalry. Western countries are retooling their armed forces to fight a near-peer adversary. Many armed forces are reassessing the legal and policy constraints under which they expect to do battle. Some Western officials increasingly believe China or Russia might ignore the laws of war. A major conflict between America and China could lead to the demise of the laws. Whether laws can actually regulate wars has long been debated. Many of the related moral principles are centuries old. Some even stem from religious texts. But it was the horrors of the Second World War, from Nazi atrocities to Allied atom bombs, that prompted new international rules on conduct in conflict. The Geneva Conventions do not outlaw warfare. At their core, they seek to reconcile a clash between humanity and military necessity. What is necessary to defeat the enemy is permitted. Inflicting unnecessary suffering is not. They protect combatants who have been captured, wounded, or have laid down their arms and are therefore no longer able to fight. Prisoners of war are entitled to minimum standards of treatment. Most important, the laws of war protect civilian non-combatants from deliberate or indiscriminate attack, reprisals, hostage-taking, and starvation. The laws of war do not presume that civilians in war zones must be, or even should be, spared. Armed forces are granted broad discretion to achieve legitimate military objectives. It's a very permissive system to begin with, argues Aurel Sari of the University of Exeter in Britain. Though always imperfect, the laws of war continue to tackle the very fundamental needs of people in armed conflict, argues Cordula Droga, the ICRC's chief legal officer. They try to advocate for war's victims, both present and potential. In the 1950s and 1960s in particular, many Western armies applied aggressive, even unlawful, interpretations of the laws. American strategic bombing campaigns in Korea, for example, paid little heed to the principle of distinction, which requires differentiating between civilian and military targets, resulting in millions of casualties. Nor were the laws evenly applied during brutal wars of decolonization. It wasn't until the 1970s that Western armies started to take a more expansive view of their humanitarian duties. Allegations of American atrocities in Vietnam focused minds. So did developments in technology. Advances in precision-guided weapons around that time meant many felt that there was little excuse for civilian deaths. By the 2000s, the idea was that lawyers could persuade citizens tired of the war on terror that military action was legitimate. The need to win over locals during counter-insurgency campaigns also helped keep Western soldiers in check. Even so, American, Australian, and British special forces have faced allegations of war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now some generals are calling for a return to a more basic, permissive understanding of the laws of war in the face of growing tension between America and its rivals. That was expressed most bluntly in an article penned in 2021 by Lieutenant General Charles Peedy, then the U.S. Army's top lawyer, in Military Review, a journal. He warned that American forces were suffering from a counter-terrorism hangover, accustomed to highly constrained, policy-driven rules of engagement. Such restrictions, if applied to a war with Russia or China, he warned, would be disastrous. One problem military planners identify is that wars will speed up. A fight against China or Russia will not provide commanders the luxury of time, nor near certainty regarding collateral effects, writes Lieutenant General Stuart Risch, currently the U.S. Army's top lawyer, and his colleague Colonel Ryan Dowdy in The Army Lawyer, another journal. You're going to have extremely high-tempo operations, which are going to be faster than the speed of lawyering, explains Matthew Waxman, a professor at Columbia Law School in America and a former Pentagon official. In such a fast-paced, chaotic environment, armies are debating how far they will delegate what they call target engagement authority, essentially the right to conduct an attack, down the chain of command. That comes with increased risks to civilians. There will be less vetting of targets by lawyers and a greater reliance on soldiers' own grasp of the laws of war. In Iraq and Afghanistan, Western forces were able to launch drones that could loiter for hours, if not days, to verify targets and minimize collateral harm with precision-guided weapons. That may not be possible in a war over the Baltic states or Taiwan. That might not matter in a limited engagement, where military targets are much more obvious. Think of a Chinese invasion fleet in the Taiwan Strait. But as conflicts grind on and escalate, civilian and dual-use targets are more likely to get caught in the crosshairs. In a war of attrition, striking war-sustaining facilities, though legally murky, could become commonplace. A second issue is the sky-high stakes in any big conflict. The laws of war require armies to ensure that any civilian harm from an attack is proportionate to an expected military advantage. The legality of using nuclear weapons is contested, but would in any case need to conform to the principles of distinction and proportionality. In wars where national survival or swathes of territory are at stake, commanders might tolerate high levels of civilian harm and reconsider targets once deemed off-limits. Even in wars of choice, America has tested the limits. In Iraq in 2003, its strikes on some Iraqi power facilities caused considerable suffering among civilians. That sort of thing might become more routine in a great power war. A third challenge is how to apply the laws of war in emerging arenas of conflict. One example concerns the electromagnetic spectrum. As all-seeing sensors make battlefields more transparent, adversaries could be tempted to make their electronic emissions mimic protected objects, such as hospitals, to try to fool the enemy. The line between lawful deception and perfidy is already fine, but in future conflicts, the impetus to look like something innocuous, to blend in with the civilian environment, will really be strong, argues Sean Watts of the Lieber Institute for Law and Warfare at West Point, America's military academy. These problems will worsen when battles are fought in cities, whether Gaza today or Taipei tomorrow. Almost any piece of infrastructure, a road, a reservoir, an energy grid, can serve both military and civilian purposes. A new report on Israeli operations in Gaza by the Royal United Services Institute, a British think tank, argues that many of the humanitarian demands placed on the Israel Defense Forces are incompatible with achieving the military tasks which they have been assigned. Terrifyingly, death and destruction on a vast scale may become much more common. That became vividly apparent in a recent war game conducted by the Stimson Center, a think tank in Washington, which sought to stress test NATO's policy on civilian harm mitigation in a scenario where the alliance faced a near-peer competitor, read Russia, during a high-intensity urban conflict. More than 66,000 civilian casualties occurred in some rounds. The report concluded that NATO's aspirations for reduced civilian deaths have never been achievable and are even less so in that sort of intense urban war. Would Western publics, unaccustomed in their lifetime to serious warfare, stomach such carnage? The short answer is probably. Studies suggest that public support for civilian immunity can be brittle and swiftly overcome by the imperatives of war. In a paper by Scott Sagan of Stanford University and Benjamin Valentino of Dartmouth College, published in 2017, participants were asked how they would respond to a hypothetical Iranian attack on American forces. Some 67% of respondents opted for a conventional bombing attack that deliberately killed 100,000 Iranian non-combatants if it saved the lives of 20,000 American troops. Although such scenarios raise troubling questions, pockets of optimism remain. The laws of war are much more institutionalized, and public scrutiny has never been greater, argues Janina Dill of Oxford University, and they continue to serve an important legitimizing role for countries. But given the breadth of the laws, industrial-scale bloodshed does not necessarily contravene them. In recent decades, armies have largely ratcheted to more and more humane rules of warfare, says Mr. Watts. The fear is that a great power conflict could turn the clock back.